The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 7th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Jesus returned from the region of Tyre and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee, in the region of the Decapolis. And they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment. And they begged him to lay his hands on him. And taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his fingers into his ears, and after spitting, touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. And Jesus charged them to tell no one. But the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, He has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
There are two marvels in today's gospel lesson. I don't want to quite call them miracles, although there's a way you can use that word to see what is going on in the gospel lesson. I want to call them marvels. They are things at which we should stand back and say, oh my, that was unexpected. Not necessarily miracles, and I'll explain that in a moment, but two marvels. The first is this, that the man who was deaf and having a speech impediment, that his ears were opened and his tongue was loosed. That is a marvel. No one could have seen it coming. But the other marvel that we'll get to in a moment, the other marvel that is, in fact, more marvelous, is that God's ears are open and that his tongue is loose towards us. That God hears and speaks with us. But first, let's just start with this man, this deaf man, and this mute man. Try to put yourself in that situation for a moment. Just kind of inhabit that text. All kinds of interesting details, from the fingers in the ears to the spitting and the touching of the tongue, and that use of a word, Ephphatha, that needs to be explained to us, and those friends who brought this man who remain nameless. Put yourself in that situation for a moment. How many times do you suppose that this deaf man had people walk up to him, not knowing that he was deaf, not knowing that he couldn't speak, expecting to have a normal conversation? Hi, how are you? What's your name? I don't know what you're saying. I can't hear you. How often did he have people walk up to him thinking that everything was just fine, and then he would watch the look on their face as they wondered what was wrong with him? Why isn't he answering? Why does he look confused? Why is he making those strange signs? Why does he sound so odd when he opens his mouth? Imagine what it was like for that man to be in that position. His ears closed. Maybe you know someone who is deaf, or maybe you struggle with hardness of hearing. You can imagine what that's like, how frustrating, how eminently frustrating that is, and how it gets in the way of everything. Especially what's most important to us, our relationships with other people. It gets in the way. Not to be able to hear and not to be able to speak, that is, not to be heard, it's dreadful. Here's this man who was in just such a condition, and maybe he had been in that condition for a long time and had kind of grown used to it. Who knows how many doctors, how many miracle workers he had seen. To no avail. We've heard about other stories like that in the gospel. There was a woman who had been afflicted for 12 years and had spent her entire livelihood on seeing doctors who could do nothing for her. Maybe this case was just like that. Maybe he or he is standing before Jesus thinking, this is just another one of those disappointments that is waiting to happen. These people who brought him to Jesus, they're hopeful. Maybe they're vainly optimistic. Why are they trying so hard? We've been through this before. You can imagine how he felt about Jesus. Or maybe it was that he recently became deaf. Maybe it was an accident, something that just happened. And now he's looking Jesus in the eye because he is realizing everything that's in store for him in his future. It's all crashing down. He's still coming to terms with the fact that he can't hear anymore and he can't speak plainly anymore. And it takes time to get used to such a change in your life, such a dramatic turn of events. And maybe he's still very hopeful, but he also knows no one can just fix my ears. No one can just change my fate. There he stands in front of Jesus, and he has no idea what's going to happen to him. And of course, Jesus does some very strange things, which I think is always worth noting. When Jesus comes to heal you of your ills, what is the first thing that he tends to do? Stick his finger right where it hurts. Put his finger right on the spot. That's often what he does. And then he does some peculiar things. Why would Jesus spit? Why would he bother doing that? And then, open wide, I'm going to grab your tongue. Doesn't make any sense to us. I doubt it made any sense to this man, and yet that's how Jesus behaves. Because let's be honest here, Jesus is smarter and wiser than you and me. And so when Jesus does things a certain way, who are we to question it? Who are we to do anything but stand back and receive it? And thanks be to God for the sake of this man that he stood back and received it. He was there in a posture of receiving. It was those friends of his. They remain nameless. Did you notice that? It just says, they brought to him a man. And they begged him to lay his hand on him. How striking that is, these nameless, anonymous friends, these people who cared about their friend so much that they were seeking a way to get him healed. Did they know that Jesus was the Son of God? Did they know that it is God who closes ears and opens them? That's what God said to Moses in Exodus chapter 4 when Moses was complaining to God about his inability to speak. You remember how the story goes? God said to Moses, go to Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go. And Moses says, I'm tongue-tied. I can't go and talk to Pharaoh. And God looked at Moses and he said, is it not I who have created your ears and your tongue? Is it not I who opens and closes ears and looses and binds tongues? And so if I tell you to go and speak, then I am the one who is operating your tongue. I am the one who is setting you free to speak. Did they know? Did those friends know? But that's who was standing in front of them. They were acting on faith, to say the least. They were acting on faith that this man, this Jesus, could help their friend. And they were shameless, really, or unashamed would be better. Unashamed, like that Syrophoenician woman, the Canaanite woman. We heard about her a few months ago, but she comes just before this lesson today. She comes before Jesus with a daughter who is sick, and she falls down at Jesus' feet. And when Jesus won't hear her, when he won't talk to her, she draws closer still. And when Jesus insults her and calls her a dog, she says, yes, Lord, I am a dog, but just crumbs from the master's table, they are enough for a dog. She was unashamed, falling on her knees and begging, and she received exactly what she needed. These friends of this deaf man, they're unashamed. They come to Jesus and they beg him. If you don't help him, no one can. If you don't heal him, he is without hope. Put yourself in that situation and see what a marvel this is. Those friends with their faith and their diligence. This man with his patience standing before Jesus while Jesus does all of these things to him. And then this moment when Jesus speaks into a deaf man's ears and all of a sudden he can hear. That is a marvel. And at the very least, it should tell us plain and simple that nothing is impossible for God. I know it's trite to say it, but it's true, and we don't believe it. Nothing is impossible for God. To heal the sick, that's trivial. To call back the lost, that's trivial. To raise the dead, it's no problem. It is the Lord who kills and makes alive. It is He who has invented all of this, who breathed life into us, and so it all belongs to Him. The Lord can do anything. All things are possible for God. Hold that close in your hearts. Chew on that, reflect on that, and see where in your life you imagine that something is too hard for God. Has my arm been shortened? That's what God asks when people think that He's not strong to save. Has my arm been shortened? You think I can't reach you? You think I'm not strong enough to save you? You think I can't do it? All things are possible for God. All things, including the forgiveness of sins and opening the ears of those who are deaf to the saving words of Jesus. And that's really the crux of the matter, isn't it? When I'm talking with young people especially, but anyone, about what the most important things are in the church, it really boils down to these two things. The first one is the forgiveness of sins. I talk about it in terms of Sunday school answers. You know how Jesus is always the right Sunday school answer? Well, there really are two right Sunday school answers. The first one is the forgiveness of sins. That's always the right answer. That's always what Jesus gives us. That's always what he wants us to have. That's always what we need more and more, the forgiveness of sins. But the second right Sunday school answer is this: because God said so. Because God said so. How do you know that your sins are forgiven for Christ's sake? Well, God said so. How do you know that water can wash away your sins? Because God said so. How do you know that the bread and the wine are not just bread and wine, but the body and blood of Jesus given and shed for you? Because God said so. But notice what's so important there. If God said so, you have to hear it. He speaks. And your ears have to work in order to believe it. And that is why your ears are your most important sense in church. The problem is not whether or not you have physical ears. You've all got physical ears. They may work better or worse. But the problem is spiritual deafness, ears closed to God's word. That's the problem we encounter when we enter into this world. God may be speaking day in and day out, and we cannot hear him. In fact, we're plugging our ears to him. And that is the deadliest illness of all. That is the one that lands us straight in hell. But remember again, nothing is impossible for God. The fact that you are all sitting here listening now is a marvel. It's a marvel and a work of God's Spirit that your ears have been opened to hear the love of your Savior. It's so simple and yet so profound. God speaks to you and he says, I would do anything to have you as my own, to forgive your sins, to return you to paradise, to give you eternal life. Those are the words God speaks to you. Praise God that you have ears to hear them. Don't take that for granted. And in the lives of people around you, when you see people suffering and struggling under the weight of sin or uncertainty or despair, do not lament that their ears are closed, but instead pray. Pray that the Lord would open their ears. That's exactly what he loves to do. Be like these friends, these nameless, anonymous friends. Who knows how many people have been saved because someone, unknown, anonymously, brought them before Jesus in their prayers and begged Jesus to lay his hand on them. You can never do that enough. You can never be too busy with that task. And so let's get to work. Let's marvel that our ears have been opened, and let us pray that God would open the ears of all so that they can rejoice with us in the precious words of Jesus. But that is not the only marvel in this lesson. Really, the more basic marvel, the more significant marvel, is that God's ears are opened and that he speaks. It seems plain in the lesson that if somebody came up to Jesus and spoke to him, he would hear. But it is not plain that the God who created the heavens and the earth would listen, ever listen, to sinful human beings. It is not something that should be taken for granted. In fact, the saints of the Bible give us an example throughout the scriptures that this is not something to be taken for granted. When Solomon builds the temple in 1 Kings and he dedicates the temple, he's put all of this effort into constructing this monumental building according to God's plans. God said, do this so that my people can worship me and receive my forgiveness. Solomon prays a prayer of dedication. And in that prayer, he says again and again and again, O Lord, who are you that you would listen to us? The highest of heavens cannot contain you. Why is it that you would bend your ear down to listen to us? And so, Lord, we beg you. He begs again and again. that God would hear. When your people cry out to you because of their enemies, listen to them. When your people cry out to you because of famine or drought or sickness or plague, listen to them. When your people are caught in sin, when they're struggling with guilt, listen to them and forgive. Solomon pleads with God that his ears would always be open and that his voice would be heard among his people. It is not something to be taken for granted. David acknowledges this in Psalm 8 when he says, "When I look at the heavens and the work of your hands, O Lord, what is man that you are mindful of him?" Let us not be so presumptuous to think that God has to listen to us. He does not. It is according to his will and his grace and mercy that he does, but he does not have to. Let us never take that for granted, but let us always believe it. This is the fundamental problem, again, that we struggle with as Christians, just not believing God's word. It is hard for us to believe that God, in fact, listens. We've all had, I think, instances in our lives where we have tried to reach someone high up on the food chain and failed. If you want to experience this, try calling Windstream and getting something done with your communication service in your home. You can't reach anybody who will help you. They will not listen. And we have this fear, this dread, this concern, but that's how God is with us. Sure, of course, I should try. I should speak to him and maybe he'll hear. Maybe he'll listen. Maybe he'll do something. Maybe he'll think about it. No, that is not how God wants us to think about his ears. They are always open, trained on your voice. He is looking at you intently, day in and day out, just waiting for you to speak, to call on him. And that is a marvel. That of all of the things God could attend to, that he could have his ears open to in this world, he has opened them to you. So that your voice could fill his ears, so that your requests could be heard by him, so that he could act based on what you see fit to ask him to do. Jesus delighted to do what they asked him to do. They begged him, and he went to work. Knock, and the door will be opened. Seek, and you will find. Ask, and it will be given to you. Jesus promises that God's ears are open to you. In fact, he insists that this is part of your job, is to use those open ears. Remember the story of Abraham, who was visited by those three men who were on their way to Sodom and Gomorrah to see about the wickedness there and to call down destruction from heaven. Abraham had a relative, his nephew Lot, who lived in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham was concerned that if those cities got destroyed, Lot would be destroyed as well. And so he pleaded with God. Remember this kind of bargaining match. Lord, if there are 100 righteous people in those cities, you wouldn't destroy them then, would you? That wouldn't be just. That wouldn't be like you, would it? That would be unfair. That would be unrighteous. And God said, you're right, Abraham. If there are 100 people who are righteous in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, I will not destroy them. How about if there are 50? How about if there are 20? How about if there are 10? If there are 10, Lord, I know I'm presuming here, but if there are 10 righteous people in those cities, it still wouldn't be right for you to destroy them, would you? Would it? You wouldn't do that. You wouldn't call down fire from heaven and consume the righteous with wicked. And God says, no, Abraham, you're right. You're right. My ears are open to your words, and I will act based on what you have said. And God works to preserve the life of Lot and his family. He draws them out of Sodom and Gomorrah so that there are no righteous people left in those cities. They are spared while the cities are destroyed. Not the righteous along with the wicked, but the wicked were brought to nothing, and God's righteous people were saved. Abraham pleaded with God because he knew God's ears were opened, and God wanted Abraham to speak to him. He wanted Abraham to tell him what to do. His ears were open, and that is a marvel. If God's ears were not open to us, we are lost entirely. This is what the psalmist says. He says, to you, O Lord, I call, my rock, be not deaf to me, lest if you be silent to me, I become like those who go down to the pit. To have God's ears closed and his mouth shut to us is like lying in a grave, and that's where we would remain. But that is not how God behaves towards us. Blessed be the Lord, the psalmist goes on, for he has heard the voice of my pleas for mercy. The Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts and I am helped. My heart exults and with my song I give thanks to him. The Lord is the strength of his people. He is the saving refuge of his anointed. Oh, save your people and bless your heritage. Be their shepherd and carry them forever. A shepherd who knows his sheep by name, who knows their voices, and they who know his voice. That's you. Praise be to God for all of these marvels. Never cease to marvel at them. Don't take them for granted, but rejoice that God reveals them to you again and again. Study them, cherish them, share them with your friends and your neighbors. God can do anything. Nothing is impossible for God, and he wants to save you. To God alone be all glory, now and forever. Amen.